Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo here and I have somebody new for the podcast this evening. It's a great pleasure to speak to Hazal Babasin. Hiya Hazal, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So we're going to talk about your sight loss journey and how that happened. I then go on to talk about your passion, which is beauty, and particularly accessible beauty, which is really exciting because I know there'll be a lot of ladies out there that are very interested, and gents as well, I'm sure. Yeah. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Yes, so my name is Hazal. I have just turned 34, based in London. And my sight loss journey started all of a sudden in 2019. Prior to that, I had no problems with my sight at all. I didn't even wear prescription lenses or anything.
Okay, so do you want to tell us what happened, if you're comfortable talking about that?
Yes, of course. So as well as having 20/20 vision, I had perfect health. And at sort of beginning of 2019, started with intense headaches, went to the doctors about which I was just sort of brushed off as migraine, which from January to March became consistently worse. And I ended up in A&E because I'd passed out at home from the pain. And after being in A&E for, I believe it was over a week, they discovered that the cause of the pain in my head wasn't a migraine, it was a clotting on the surface of the brain. And as well as it squeezing on the brain and causing pressure and pain, it was it was causing a lot of things, one of which was pressing down on the optic nerves. And unfortunately, by the time the doctors had discovered what the cause was and were able to try and do something about it, the damage had been done to my optic nerves, which meant that I fortunately recovered from, you know, a traumatic brain injury with little to no permanent damage apart from my sight loss.
That must have been incredibly frightening at the time. I mean, to pass out through pain is, you know, frightening enough, isn't it? But to wake up in A&E and to find out that that's happened to you must have been an incredibly frightening experience for you and your family.
To be completely honest with you, at the time, I can now say that I was very selfish and I didn't really consider that it was affecting anybody else. I was kind of dealing with it by not dealing with it at all. I kind of was just, it felt like such a dream, such a blur, because like you said, I passed out from the pain of what I thought was a severe headache, woke up in hospital, being told that, you know, there's something on my brain, and that, you know, being told all the potential problems that could happen, and as well as losing my sight, which at the time I didn't know was permanent. I also lost, you know, my speech was slurring, my mobility was gone, I was losing. It was very, very similar to stroke symptoms because of this extreme pressure buildup around my brain. So I guess in a way I kind of am grateful that I wasn't told at the time that the sight loss is permanent. I was just thrown into working with the physiotherapists and the occupational therapists to bring my speech back, bring my you know, my walking, my movement, my mobility. And I kind of believed that my sight was going to be one of those things that they would check off the list eventually. And unfortunately, it never was. And Yeah, I sorry, I
That's all right. That's okay. So, did you get a lot of? I know you said you got support from physios and occupational therapists, but regarding your sight loss and, having no sight, was the support there for you?
sorry, I just do you know what? I haven't spoken about it in such a long time.
Really? Are you comfortable
And
or?
no, I am comfortable, but you know when you think you're doing, you think you're over something, and
Yeah,
then
yeah.
no matter how many years or months go past, it always feels as raw as it was on the day that it happened.
Yeah, I'm sure. Bless you.
But did I get any support? With regards to the physical side of things, as yes, a lot. My occupational therapist was amazing, and it's down to her that I'm able to walk and talk again. But with regards to the sight, it was kind of never discussed. It was always okay. We'll give you techniques and ways to manage with this sight while you're here in this hospital setting. And and I kept asking, what if it stays like this? What if it gets worse? When is it getting better? And they said, look, we'll just deal with it when we get to it. It was hard because for them, because my sight loss wasn't caused by a sight related problem. There was nothing wrong with my eyes. My eyes were healthy. And the trauma or the injury that had happened to my brain was also extremely rare. So I guess they kind of didn't know what had happened or why it had happened or what else could happen.
So when you got home, out of hospital, and I assume you were still doing rehabilitation, for walking and talking and everything when you got home and everything. So what happened next, Hazal? What was the next sort of step for you?
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but me coming back from hospital, by the time I was discharged and I came back home, it was around about the time that COVID was starting.
Right.
So I was discharged with the promise of, this therapist is going to carry on with you. And, everything I had a plan set in place. But unfortunately, because of COVID, nothing really was able to carry on. I had a few sessions of mobility training. I had a few sessions with the neurotherapists, and then everything just kind of died down, and everybody was locked away.
Yeah,
And I
yeah.
was living in this kind of really surreal world. With some, it just kind of all felt like a dream. I know that might sound silly to say, but it just didn't, nothing felt real. I think it's because the world didn't feel real at the time and everything was just kind of frozen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then it
Yeah.
wasn't until I think the world returned to normality that I began to process, okay, this is actually me now. This is it. And it's not going to go away. And I need to adjust to this and adapt to this. And I think that's when the mental side kicked in for me. I suffered really badly with depression.
And did you get any support with that? Were you, did you have contact with a rehabilitation officer or anything, or any of the sight loss charities?
No, I mean, at the time when it did happen, I think the problem is that the support that I was offered to me too early. So when I was initially discharged from hospital, I was contacted by the RNIB, who were amazing, still are amazing, and I'm still in contact with them. And I was also contacted by my local charity, the MAB. And they did say that they had a home counselling service, and I just wasn't ready to talk about it. And at the time, I was just so angry. And I remember just saying to every single person who tried to sit down and have a conversation with me, it sounds so cliche, but they did all start with how are you feeling, and I would just bluntly say, how do you think I'm feeling? I've just lost my sight. I don't want to talk about it. Start make me feel better, because the only thing that will make me feel better is you giving me back my sight. And they would say, well, no, I can't do that. And then that's when I would just end the sessions. But
yeah,
I don't think it was at the time. I just was very thinking down the road of therapy is useless. It's not going to help me. And this is a waste of time. But I think it was just that it was the wrong time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, because I had kind of turned some of the help away, and the help I hadn't turned away wasn't made available to me because of COVID, by the time 2.5 years down the line, when I was ready, that option wasn't there anymore.
Before you went through all of this, what was your life then, Hazal? Were you working? What was your career? Were you a mom or?
No, it was completely different. And it was, I mean, I thought I was happy in life. I had, you know, a really happy social life. I was working full time in recruitment. I had just moved into a new company. And I mean, I thought I was doing great. I was really happy. I didn't think there was anything missing in my life.
Yeah.
But now I would never go back. I just wouldn't. I just think I wasn't happy. I thought I was happy because I thought I was successful in the eyes of society. But really, I spent every minute of my day working. And then the weekends was spent recovering from working. So yes, I was successful. And yes, I thought I was happy. But really, now looking at what I've achieved, and what I've done with my life, I think I wasn't really living a fulfilled life. I was living to work or working to live. I wasn't really enjoying myself. I didn't have any valuable time to spend with anyone or on anything.
That's really interesting that you say that, isn't it, in view of what you're doing now. So yeah. When the help wasn't available for you anymore, so what happened? How did you cope? You said you were experiencing extreme depression. So, you know, how did you get through that without, you know, the support being there?
I would say, when I say the support wasn't there, I would say the support wasn't there through the NHS, but the charities, the sight loss charities, are amazing and they do so much more. So that option was always there to me. I'm very, very blessed, I would say, to have the support network that I do have in my life. I've got a very patient family who just gave me the time. Whether or not they wanted to, they gave me the time and space that I needed to deal with what I needed, because I think they were kind of, they realised that she needs to go through this. She needs to grieve.
Yeah.
And let it go. And my friends as well, not only are they patient, they are very, very supportive. They didn't let me hit rock bottom. They let me get close, but they didn't let me hit it. You know, they kept pulling me back up and saying, this isn't you. You know, you need to sort of, that they kept reminding me of reasons why I shouldn't be giving up and why everything is okay and it will get better. And that this is the thing. I was comparing myself, like that my, it was a conversation I had with a friend of mine that said, listen, everybody has bad days. Nobody's telling you to get over it and be happy about it for the rest of your life. But that's true, isn't it? Everybody has good days and everybody has bad days. And it's just about trying to make the most of the good days.
And yeah, not for sure.
On the bad days.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, losing your sight is, you know, we recognise that it is a grieving process. It is a form of grief because you go through all the same things, don't you? Anger and, you know, sadness and depression and, you know, all of that that you would go through any grief.
It wasn't until I understood that it was a grieving process and I had to treat it like a grieving process, because I really did feel like I had died. The person that I knew had died and a new person was born because I didn't know her. She had completely different capabilities physically. She was completely different mentally. And it was just about learning. It genuinely, it might sound cheesy, it just felt like being born again and having to learn everything again. Yourself, your surroundings.
No, that doesn't sound cheesy or corny at all. It makes perfect sense, you know, it really does, and it is like that, isn't it? So
Yeah.
what was the at the moment for you that kind of things, because you know, you've come on to talk about blind beauty as well, which is fabulous. So what was that turning point for you? What was that epiphany, that moment?
It started in the hospital, actually, funnily enough, because I lost my sight sort of overnight. It went from everything to absolutely nothing. And gradually, over the next few weeks with treatment, some of my sight did come back. So I have a very small central tunnel that works. But while I was in the hospital, I had absolutely nothing. And I wasn't born blind, so I wasn't aware of how to navigate with no sight. So I had to wait for the nurses every morning to help me with basics. And they were more than happy to come and walk me to the bathroom and show me where the shower is and the toothbrush, but they didn't have the time or the patience to do my full morning skincare routine with me. And now I can understand where they're coming from. But at the time, I thought, that's ridiculous. This is what I need to do. Why is it not important? And I found it so frustrating that they didn't think it was important. And I would think I was even more frustrated that I had to agree with them because I needed them. Because I couldn't do it myself. And it was products that I had used my whole life and that I knew what they were, but I now couldn't see them. And they all smelt the same and they all felt the same. And they kept rolling off the table. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. I can't be the, because I had never experienced any problems in my sight. I didn't know how common sight loss or blindness was. And I just remember thinking, I can't be the only one. There's got to be someone out there who can't see, who cares about their skin. And I came home and started searching online for other blind people. And it was first thing that I came across was that it was quite hard to find anybody who was blind who was out there and open and willing to speak to someone. And the ones that were just said to me, yes, we have that problem as well. But nobody had a solution apart from little tips and tricks that they add to their products. And I thought, that's really not fair. And at the time, it was the pandemic and everybody was doing something from home. And I don't like making candles. So I thought, okay, let me just make my own skincare then. And that is literally how it started, just as it was a hobby to keep me busy during the lockdown. And kind of as a way of not dealing with or processing what had happened to me. And also dealing with a problem of I can't find the products that I want, so I'm going to create them myself. So, yeah, that's how it started, just as a hobby to help myself and other blind girls and say, listen, I've got this and this will help us. And it wasn't until all the feedback came that the product was amazing. I had better feedback about the product quality than the accessibility. And I thought, oh, okay, people actually like this. People aren't just picking this up because it's an accessible product. Do they actually really like the product? So then I thought, oh, okay, this is a way that I can maybe speak about blindness and bring more awareness to the disability, as well as bringing more accessibility to the industry that I felt so excluded from at the time, a few years ago.
So tell us about your products. Tell us about Blind Beauty. What's it all about? Because until you emailed us, I'd not heard of it.
Really? Oh, okay, great. So, I'd love to hear your feedback then. It did start as a passion project, and now it's what I do full time. And there's two missions with the brand. One is to raise awareness for blindness as a disability, because I think one of the biggest problems with blindness is that there's just lack of knowledge and lack of awareness. And the second one is to bring more accessibility to the products, which I do through multiple factors. So I have the braille on the product, which, to be honest with you, is more to bring awareness to blindness, because not every blind person can read braille. The more of the accessibility is the, so I kept the packaging plain by design on purpose. The intention is that I wanted sighted customers to see what a blind customer can feel.
Yeah.
Why I didn't want anything else on the packaging apart from the Navilens code and anything I need to legally have on there.
Yeah.
The Navilens QR code is amazing. I think that what they're doing is amazing as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so we've just launched with an SPF moisturizer. Reason being is I wanted to start with a product that everybody needs, and I think everybody should be using SPF regardless of gender, regardless of skin type, regardless of the time of year. And another thing that, so as much as the brand was started for awareness of blindness and accessibility for my blind community, I want to try and make the brand as accessible as possible for everybody. So every product will be vegan, will be cruelty-free, and suitable for all skin types.
Fabulous. That's really good to hear. And it's really so important to people these days, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is. And I think there are so many different disabilities that are neglected and not thought of, especially in the beauty industry. So like I said, I would love to hear from customers, and if there's anything that I can do to make the brand or any of the products more accessible, I'm always willing to grow and change. So yeah, I believe it's the start of a great journey, and I'm excited to see where it will take us.
Yeah, I'll bet, for sure. So where can people see what you've got, see your products? Where can they access them and purchase them?
So all of the Blind Beauty socials are just at Blind Beauty UK. The website is blindbeauty.co.uk. And we have also recently just launched on to Debenhams as well. So you can now shop us on the Debenhams website.
Fabulous. Wow. That's a coup.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's amazing to bring an accessible product into a mainstream.
Yeah, isn't it? For sure.
Yeah. Just to make it, because it's just, I would do it myself. It's easier to pick up something that you want where you can buy multiple things. So, you know, you can go and pick up your skincare while you're doing your shopping. Yeah. At the same time, and sometimes it's harder to go direct to a brand site and just buy one item from them. So to make the accessible product even more accessible, thank you, Debenhams. Hopefully we can get it out onto the shelves nationwide.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So how many products have you got in your range so far?
So at the moment we have two products. We have the SPF moisturizer and a face cleansing pad. And we have plans for two new products to be launched within the next 12 months.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Any sneak previews as to what they'll be, or is it still top secret?
I'll give you a clue. So there's going to be a product that is designed to be used in the morning and another product designed to be used in the evening.
Oh, right. Exciting. That's great. So what's life like for you now, apart from very busy designing products and obviously you very involved with sort of awareness as well, aren't you? And, you know, like you said, wanting people to know what it's like for people who are visually impaired. So the design of the products, you know, is aimed at sighted people as well. So what's happening in your life, or that, you know, as well at the moment, what's life like for you?
Life at the moment is very full on. It's very busy. I think it's a lot harder running a business than people assume.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of you feel like a one-man band, a bit of a jack of all trades. You're doing one thing by day and then another thing by night. And it's taking up a lot of my time at the moment, but I'd also do some work with Zebedee Talent Agency. So it's part-time modelling and acting work through them, which has kind of sort of been amazing for me to be able to network with other people in the industry who also have a disability. And it just gives you a bit more confidence, I would say.
So that's exciting. So what are you modeling? Are you doing a bit of everything that they offer, or are you what are you doing with
Well,
Zebedee?
I started with Zebedee a couple of years ago, and initially it was just part-time modeling. I have done a couple of acting roles with them for adverts.
That's
So yeah,
fantastic.
a little bit of everything. It's part-time at the moment. I, as fun as it is, and as much as I love the modeling, I Blind Beauty is my full-time baby and takes up most of my energy and focus.
Yeah. Well, that's yours, isn't it? Like you say, it's your baby, isn't
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. I know that what would your message be? Because I know when we spoke before we started recording, you said you had a sort of message, almost a tagline, I suppose. But what would you say to other people who perhaps are going through something similar to you? And what would you say to them? What would be your advice?
So, thinking back to when everything first happened, I felt really, really, really alone. I felt really, really lonely. I felt like nobody understood me and I was the only person going through this, and I couldn't see an end. I couldn't see a positive outcome for myself at all. And it was frustrating because everybody was trying to force me into how they wanted me to deal with it. But all I would say, which is what I wish someone else told me, is that everything you're feeling is okay. It's okay to feel alone. It's okay to feel scared, and it's okay to feel worried because you're grieving. You've just lost a big part of yourself and you're growing into a new person. So you need to allow yourself to go through that. And then when you do come out on the other end, and you definitely will, it will give you a completely new outlook on life. I have achieved so much more with my life in the 3 years since I lost my sight than I had achieved the 30 years with full sight. And I don't, had I not lost my sight, I would not have the same appreciation for life that I do now. I wouldn't have had the guts to go ahead and do certain things, like starting a business. I just never would have. It's just given me the push to just go and get everything. I mean, if losing my sight can't hold me back, it shouldn't hold anybody else back.
That's a great place to end, I think, with that message. And I think that's, you're really saying that there's life after, aren't you? And
Yeah.
yeah.
It can seem bleak. And at the time, everyone tells you, time is a great healer, just give it time. And I hated hearing that. And it made me even more angry. But it was more because people want you to just get over it. But no, just let people deal with it in their own. It's okay. Nobody told me it was okay to feel what I was feeling. And that's what I think people need to hear. It's okay to feel alone and scared and to cry, but just don't do it forever.
Yeah, sure.
Don't give
And there,
yourself the time to grieve about it, and then you will come out stronger on the other end.
yeah, and there is help out there, like you said, with the charities and
There is so
and
much more help than you think, and it's just as simple as sending an email or just a phone call, and they will always be there. And it will be speaking to someone who's gone through what you're going through, who will understand you.
yeah. So, just before we finish, do you want to give your web address once again, just so people can check out your products and tell them
So,
how to find you on the socials?
all of the socials are at Blind Beauty UK, and the website is blindbeauty.co.uk.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Hazal. It's been a pleasure to chat to you, and thank you for being so honest and candid about your story.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time out in your evening. Sorry, I did get a bit choked up. I just guess it just always brings it back, doesn't it, when you
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, I hope if it can maybe reach one person and give that one person that's going through a bad time some hope, then, at least what I've gone through has been worth it, I guess.
Perfect. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. It's great listening back.